Well, we will be having a tape today from Mr. Armstrong, and it is fairly long, actually, the tape that we'll be having. It is over an hour and a half long, so it doesn't give a great deal of time for news, news analysis, but I think there is certainly sufficient time to just deal with something that I happened to come across in the news this past week. And it is an article that appeared in the Telegraph, and it's a notebook that is written by W.F. Deeds. Now, if I can give you a little bit of information about who W.F. Deeds is, he's a journalist, but he's no ordinary journalist. He's actually about 93 or 94 years old, and he's been a journalist for over 75 years, and he's covered things in the war. He was down in Abyssinia, I believe, during the Second World War, and he has seen the Spanish Civil War, he's seen the various things that led up to war, and he's seen the things within Europe which most of us have never experienced. And so here he's writing from this kind of perspective. And in this comment, this was dated the 23rd, and it says, "Brussels could start another European war." And I thought this was quite an interesting article. It says, "How astonishing to see Britain and America, at huge cost, striving to install democracy in Iraq, while the muscle men of Brussels, ignoring democracy, plough on with their plan, a federal Europe bound together by a constitution. I think it is also ominous. I do not see an easy compromise coming out of Brussels. If we want the sugar of trade with Europe, then we shall have to be required to allow the pill of federal control. I think that is what troubles many British businessmen, and rightly so. But soon it's going to trouble the Conservative Party." And the Telegraph tends to be a Conservative paper. I mean, they tend to support the Conservative Party. He says, "My private philosophy about Europe has long been that no matter what mischief Brussels gets up to, it offers a better world for my grandchildren than 1914-18 and 1939-45. Now remember, this man is writing from experience of the two world wars. It says, "But I am beginning to revise that easygoing attitude. I saw in Eastern Europe the determination," now notice what he said, "I saw in Eastern Europe the determination with which it broke out of the hegemony of the Soviet Union, particularly in Hungary. I recall the ugly temper of the Spanish Civil War, witnessed the strength of the feeling in Bosnia and Kosovo. There are European nations which Brussels wishes to embrace that are not going to readily submit themselves to undue conformity and regulation. The strong-minded will confront the determined." So you're going to have a difference of opinion between what you see in Brussels at the moment and what's coming out of Eastern Europe. It says, "What then? There will eventually be rebellion. Nations take sides, so perhaps rebellion will lead to conflict. And a single shot in Sarajevo paved the way for the First World War. And then my complacent vision of a peaceful Europe for my grandchildren will fall into small pieces." So he is looking at something, and he's seeing something within Europe which most simply can't see. Now, I'll say this much, that all of you in America, you might think, well, oh, this is just European, it's way over there, it's, you know, nothing to do with us. But you found yourself embroiled in the First World War that started over here. You found yourself embroiled in the Second World War that started over here. And the Third World War, and what in fact is prophesied, is also destined to actually start over here. Now, the things that he is talking about, the things that he's pointing to, is seen in this World News article of the 24th. This was last Saturday. And the article actually says, this is in the World News article, it says, "The ghetto survivor warns of Polish fascism." It says, "A new coalition accused of war on Jews, gays and freedom." And Kate Colony reports, it says, "As a 24-year-old banished to the Warsaw ghetto with thousands of fellow Polish Jews, Mark Edlam decided that the only way to fight the Nazis was to take up arms. More than six decades later, the last surviving leader of the ghetto's courageous but doomed uprising of 1943 said that he thought similar action justified in today's Poland." So he can see what's happening in Poland, and he says that, well, I'll show you what he says. He says, if we want to save Poland, my advice would be to take up the knife and hit them where it hurts, Mr. Edlam, 87, said in his flat in the central city of Lodz. Now, he's seen what happened as far as the Polish ghetto is concerned, and he's watching something happening again. He says his anger is directed at the conservative government, which was elected 8 months ago, and two nationalist and radical right-wing parties that were recently invited to prop it up. The League of Polish Families, LPR, and the Self-Defense, whose leader has praised Hitler's economic policies. And Poland's entry into the European Union 2 years ago has generally been hailed as a success. But it has brought with it a heavy dose of illiberalism that are embarrassing to the champions of EU expansion. So you see this, here is this East-West difference in mental approach to what Europe needs to be. The nation of 40 million is in danger of becoming a hothouse of extremism and Catholic nationalism. That's where it's coming from. As it says here, it says, all Polish youth, the youth wing of the LPR, says that it's only by making Poland a Catholic state that its future will be secured. Now, that's coming from the young people in Poland. You go to the young people over on the western side, and they don't look upon things like that. We do not want to become like Holland, with its free drugs and gay marriages, said Konrad Boniswalski, 23, a senior member. Since joining the European Union, we have seen attempts to destroy our Catholic values. Now, if we just have a look at certain scriptures. First of all, let's turn over to Daniel chapter 2. But here, over in Daniel chapter 2, let's pick it up. Let's just pick it up over in verse 40. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So we're looking at the Roman Empire now. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom will be divided, but there will be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. Now you're going to have it mixed in the peoples of men, I mean the clay of mankind, and all these different nations there, there's going to be a weakness. But there's also going to be the strength there of the Roman Empire. And it is the Roman Empire that will give it that strength, as we'll go on and see. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they will mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not stick one to another, even as iron doesn't mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, and the only thing being referred to are the toes, so you're looking at 10 toes, but you're looking at 10, you know, on an average foot, you only get 5. So you've got 5 on one side and 5 on the other. And this is where the concept of the East and West split, or the East and West divide is found. And it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom will not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it will stand forever. It is interesting that also in the past week, there is a, this is from yesterday, Friday, June the 30th. It says, the Vatican vows to expel stem cell scientists from the church. And you see this hard-line approach, which is appreciated in Eastern Europe. It is not appreciated over here in the West. And there is going to be this conflict between these two cultures. Now, from those, if you turn over, you know, very, very quickly, you've only got a few minutes left, turn over to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. We will find here in Revelation 17, where it says in verse 12, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings that have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour, very short time, with the beast. These have one mind, and they will give their power and strength to the beast. Here are the 10 toes that you find, these 10 kings that will then fight against Christ, making war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. This is clearly tied in with the kings of Daniel. And it says, he said to me, the waters that you saw, that your whore sits, are peoples, multitudes, tongues, and nations. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So there's going to eventually be a backlash against the Catholic Church. But up to that point, if you just go back a couple of pages to Revelation 13, It is very clear that when you see in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. This is the resurrected Holy Roman Empire. This is Revelation 13, verse 11. And in verse 12, it says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast. So you're looking at the Roman Empire, the iron, mixed with the miry clay of mankind. And this iron mixed with miry clay that will not stick together, you're going to have this liberal, Western-style, almost democratic, but it's not democratic at all. It's a liberal form that is then mixed with the old, ancient Roman Empire. And it says here, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So there's your Holy Roman Empire causing these miracles. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, notice who says it, it is this false prophet, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. There's the image that appears right at the very end. And there's the 10 kings that give their power to the beast with the false prophet with them. So we are seeing something in Europe, and certainly W.F. Deeds highlights this, that there is a discrepancy between the East and the West. He even wonders whether it's going to result in war between the two parties. It is going to result in war, but the Catholic Church is prophesied to step in and be the arbitrator. It'd be the one that then tries to pull all this diverse mess together. And this is an area that we do need to be keeping an eye on. This area of the divide between East and West, the liberal West, this Catholic fascist right that is on the East, and we need to be able to watching this very, very carefully.